Our theme this month has been living the abundant life. We have sought to see biblical principles that will help us to sow and reap the blessings of God. Last week we looked at a passage of scripture out of 2 Corinthians that spoke of the sowing and reaping. And if you sow sparingly, what's going to happen? You're going to reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. And so that's our message. That was our message last week. This week I want us to look at Matthew chapter 6. It's a great passage of scripture. We've read it, looked at it many times before, but I'm going to bring out some points from this passage again. In Matthew chapter 6, it says, Jesus says, verse 19, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for the raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Well, we read a lot of verses, a lot of great principles found in his verses we're going to look at today. But today I want to bring you a message as we look at the theme of living the abundant life. And I want to speak on this topic of living worry-free. Living worry-free. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for the time to share this word. Help us, Lord, to understand that you have everything all planned and mapped out for us. You're going to care for our needs, but help us to focus in on what we need to do as good stewards. I pray that we'd live this abundant life, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Is it possible to live a life without worry, without fears, without being upset, with every day just going on and not being fearful and worried about different things in life? Many times we find that money and finances are root of our worries and our fears. We worry about, do we have enough money? Can we pay bills? What will our heating bill be this month? As we worry about various things, we're concerned about, as I grow older and as I retire someday, and as some of you already are retired, will I have sufficient funds to meet my needs? Will I have to get another job at 80 years old being a greeter in Walmart? And by the way, if that's what God has for you, there's nothing wrong with that. But anyhow, I prefer to be playing shuffleboard down Florida when I'm 80. But anyhow, we ask ourselves questions and sometimes make ourselves upset and fearful and afraid of what the future may hold. And, that's not living the abundant life. When you're worried and nervous and fear and fret and have problems all the time, that doesn't make for a good life. And yet Jesus said he came to give us not only life, but life more abundantly, a life of peace, a life of happiness. And that doesn't mean everything goes on in your life is going to bring you happy, but yet there ought to be an inner joy and a peace that passeth all understanding. And that comes from trusting in Him. And so this morning, we're going to look at this passage of Scripture. It was part of a long sermon that Jesus preached. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. It covers Matthew 5, 6, and 7. But right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus preaches on the matter of finances. Before this, He had already spoken on the Beatitudes and blessed are a certain type of people. He spoke on us being the salt of the earth and light into the world. He spoke on anger. He spoke on divorce, on giving oaths, on loving your enemies, almsgiving, praying. He hits a myriad of subjects, but right in the middle of all these subjects, He talks about money. He talks about finances. He talks about what you should do concerning how to live your life without worrying every day. People have stress because of worry. People's blood pressure is up and it can cause all sort of physical problems. And people's marital situations are sometimes fragile because of financial problems. One of the major problems in marriages sometimes are finances and causes fights and arguments and disagreements. One of the great fears we have in our life is of the future and maybe our job security or what's going on around us, the economic situation. And so every day we have to face financial situations. Every day we have to face financial pressures, if you will. And is it possible every day to get up and say, you know what, God's going to take care of me? It sounds so simple when you come to church from 11 to 12, doesn't it? You know, but then you go out and live the life every day and the bills come and the problems come and the stress level rises and the worry sets in and sometimes you forget everything you heard on Sunday morning, you know. So I hope that you'll be able to pay attention, maybe jot a few things down and may help you as we're going to look at living the abundant life, how to live worry-free. Let me give you four things you're going to have to decide about this morning and decide about in life if you're going to live worry-free. There's going to be four decisions you're going to have to make as we're going to see from this passage of Scripture. Decision number one is this: you're going to have to decide where your treasures are. You have to decide where are your treasures. When we speak of treasures, maybe you say, well, I don't have to worry about that. I don't have any treasures. Well, you know, if you came in a car today, that's a little treasure, isn't it? And, you know, if you have a house you live in, that's a treasure, isn't it? If you got clothes on, isn't that something? If you have a little bit of money in a bank, isn't that something? You know, everybody has some treasures. You didn't come in with just nothing at all. You know, everybody has some possessions. And so treasures are things that we accumulate. Some man's treasures are other men's junk, and some man's junk are other men's treasures. You know, but we have stuff. And these are the things that we accumulate through life: our furniture, our clothing, our jewelry, our possessions that we have. And so everybody has some treasures. Now let's look at verse number 19 of Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 starts us off by saying, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth." Now the admonition is you got to decide what treasures you're going to have. And if you lay up treasures on earth, Jesus warns against that. It means accumulating, living to gain a lot of wealth. Now, let me say this, that it is not wrong to have things. It is not wrong to own things and to have a good life. It is not wrong to have cars homes and things we're going to talk about. So don't think that we're trying to make you feel bad because maybe you're well off or you have possessions. This is not what this passage is talking about. What he's talking about here, he says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." The issue is, yes, you're going to have treasures on earth. You're not going to live life with just a clothes on your back and that's it, and a box that you sleep in under the bridge. We're all going to have something, you understand? And so the admonition is don't lay up treasures, but he's warning you about laying up treasures on earth. And he's comparing treasures on earth as opposed to treasures in heaven. Now, there's a problem with treasures on earth. Now, in Old Testament, for example, we see many people in the Bible that were rich people. They laid up treasures on earth. Abraham was a rich man. When God called him to leave the Ur of the Chaldees, he had great masses of wealth. He had many cattle. He had all kind of possessions, servants living on. And he, you know, I mean, when he went towards towards Canaan, he brought a lot of stuff with him. He was a very rich man. Job was a rich man. As we read the Bible, I mean, the guy lost like thousands of animals and lost all kind of, you know, wealth that he had. Job was an extremely rich man. We know that Solomon, who had more money than Solomon during his day, you know, beautiful house that he built, took him 13 years to build a house. I mean, he accumulated anything that he wanted. If you read Ecclesiastes, anything that his heart desired, he was able to purchase. Solomon's a rich man. David was a rich man. As a king, he was just a rich man. Joseph, after he became in charge of all of Egypt, don't you think he was probably a rich man? So, you know, as we look in the Bible, God's not against you, because these are all great men of God that had great riches. Now, but the problem that Jesus is warning is this, that he says, if you live to lay up treasures on earth, you're going to have some issues sometimes with these treasures. For example, what are some of the issues? He said they're going to be temporal. Notice in verse number 19, lay not for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth. What happens to moth? They eat your clothes. You got this nice suit, you know, and there's a hole in it. Lady's got a nice dress, got a little hole in it, right? Now, I know they make mothballs, and I don't think probably in Jesus' day they had mothballs. But the thing is that your clothes are going to be old and get tattered someday, and they're going to wear out. He says where rust doth corrupt. Now, I know that, you know, cars are made a lot better now. They don't rust through. I remember years ago when I was growing up as a kid, came from Pittsburgh, they salted the streets a lot from all the snow. It seemed like every car had rust all over it, you know. We just kind of would polish over the rust. And cars do a little bit better now. But what it's saying is someday that car is going to die out. It's going to go to the junkyard. And he says, where thieves break through and steal. Now, you can have security systems, but, you know, someday, sometimes you might be vulnerable to thievery. And so, what's the issue here? Something's going to get your possessions. Something's going to take away your possessions. Something is going to, they're going to get old, they're going to get worn out, they're going to get stolen, something's going to happen. If you value these treasures above everything, and your heart is there, you're going to have a broken heart someday. You remember that, you ever buy a brand new car, and I've never bought a brand new car. I'm not against that. I'm just too cheap. I wait for somebody else to break them in, and I buy them, you know. I make sure they get everything fixed up on, and then I buy it. But anyhow, but you ever get a brand new car or a newer car, and all of a sudden, you know, you're so excited about it, and you come out of church, you know, where you just got done getting all spiritual, and some fellow believer in the church opened up his door too far and put a nice little ding in your car? And you wrote a nice note telling them how much Jesus loves them, but you don't love them. And so what happened is that you a possession that you had, and every day you look at that car, you see that little ding out of the door, and you think of that nice Christian fellow in church that was responsible for that. But anyhow, what happens? Things that you have, sometimes they come and they go. But the truth is, someday, they're all going to go. Someday, everything that we have here on this earth will be gone. Because as the old adage goes, you can't take it with you. Actually, a biblical verse to go with that is 1 Timothy 6:7. It says, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we carry nothing out. How'd you come into this world? You came naked. How do you leave? Well, they're going to put clothes on you. You know, we don't see you in a casket like that. But they're going to put clothes on you. But you're not taking those clothes. You're going to leave them in the casket. And so we came with nothing, leave with nothing. And so everything that we have was given to us in the amount of years that God gives us. And it's certain that every treasure that you accumulated on earth will someday be left behind. We were at Egypt. One of our trips we took to Israel took a little extension over to Egypt, and we saw the Great Pyramids, and just a tremendous a sight, just a tremendous these pyramids that go so high in the sky, and built by probably millions of slaves back in the Egyptian days, rolling those massive stones on logs or however else they got them. But all pyramids were just big funeral monuments for dead pharaohs, and inside those pyramids they would bury all the treasures of the pharaoh, and they'd have a little compartment you go in. In fact, you can now still go in, you crawl in, and there's a little room there where they had all the treasures. But guess what? All the treasures are gone, because enough people over the years slipped in there and took all the king's treasures. The pharaoh thought, I can take it with me. Now thieves got you before you took it with you. And so you got to decide, if I put all my time, energy, effort, passion into a job so that I can make more money, so that I can accumulate more things, so that I can enjoy life more, so I have nicer clothes, nicer car, nicer house, everything, and I invest all my time and energy, the warning is someday it's all going to be gone. Now, if you're okay with that, okay, but that's the warning, that you're going to invest in everything you have, that someday will only be, when you die at 80 or 90 or 100 or wherever you go, or if Jesus comes back, that'll be it. Now he gives a comparison of heavenly treasures. Verse number 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth, no moths in heaven, amen, nor rust, there's no rust in heaven, nor doth corrupt, and thieves, no thieves are allowed in heaven, they have to get saved, and they get changed. And where thieves do not break through nor steal. And so the value of heavenly treasures, unlike earthly treasures that are temporal, heavenly treasures are eternal. Where you leave behind earthly treasures, you take with you heavenly treasures. Where earthly treasures are only for so many years, heavenly treasures last for all eternity. So you can see the value. What Jesus is saying is, now you got to decide what you're going to live for, because everybody is living for some treasures. And if you put everything into your earthly treasures, someday you're going to be disappointed when they're all gone. But on the other hand, if you invest in heavenly treasures, you're going to have all eternity to enjoy them. So you make the choice. What's it going to be, heavenly or earthly? You got to decide, what am I going to live my life for? Is my life going to be for the here and now, and what can I get out of now? Or is my life going to be for the hereafter? You have to make that decision. You see, Jesus gave parables about living faithfully now so that someday you can enjoy heavenly treasures. Jesus talked about how that when he comes, his reward is with him. He talks about some of the parables about people receiving talents or receiving pounds, some sort of value, and they double them. And so what did Jesus do? He honored them and he gave them rewards, treasures in heaven. Do you realize that when you are faithful with what God gives you, and you spiritually help the kingdom of God, and you are involved in ministries and involved in spirituality, things of spirituality, if you're involved in winning souls, if you're involved in supporting missions and supporting churches and trying to see people saved and lives changed, you see, you're investing in things that last for all eternity. Any soul that you see gets saved, guess what? That soul is for all eternity. But anything here on this earth, it's over someday. So you got to make a decision. Where am I going to invest all my time, energy, efforts in things that someday are going to leave me empty and I got to leave behind, or in things that are going to have an eternal value? And so we have to decide. Now you have to decide, because according to verse number 21, it says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Because whatever choice you make, that's where your heart's going to be in. You know why some people's heart is not in church? They don't want to come to church because their treasures are laid up down here. You know why some people are not interested in giving or helping out missions? Because their heart is not in it, because their heart is where? It's in things down here on this earth. And so their heart's not in it, because where you invest your treasures, your heart follows. So, for example, if you give the missions, you give to the church, you're quite interested in what happens with the church. You're quite interested in what happens with missionaries. And when missionaries come back and give reports, you're interested. You know why? Because you find out that these missionaries are doing a work because you helped invest in their lives, in their ministries. And so your heart is there. You know who enjoys missions conference the most? People who've been given to missions. But if you haven't been given to missions, your heart's not really in it. You really not care. Okay, well, some people got saved in some country. Okay, no big deal. You haven't invested in it because you're investing in only things that are temporal. And so you have to decide, where am I going to invest my time at? Where am I going to look and place my treasures? And so I look at the story of Job. Job lost all his temporal possessions, did he not? He lost all that he had. Temporal possessions. But you know what? He didn't lose his relationship with the Lord. And Job showed that his treasures were not down here, but his treasures were up there in heaven. Because he said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, I still have a relationship with God. Because my treasures, he could take away my treasures here, but he can't take away my eternal treasures. And so even though Job was hurting and in pain and suffering and rude the day that he was even born because he had suffered so much, deep down inside, his treasures were not when they took all those things away from him, when the devil took all that stuff away from him. His treasures were in heaven, and nobody can take those treasures away. You see, when Moses had to decide, will I stay in Egyptian's court, the Egyptian court, and be the next Pharaoh, be the next leader of Egypt? Or am I going to go with a bunch of slaves, these Israelites, and try to help them out? He had to make a decision. Am I going to lay my treasures here on this earth, or am I going to put my treasures in heaven? And he made a decision that he would leave the Pharaoh's court, and he would align himself with the Israelites. And, you know, someday, of course, he gave up everything. He gave up everything. But you know what? He did the will of God, and he followed God, and he freed through God ultimately. But he was the one who was leading the Israelites, and they were free from Egyptian bondage. Here's a guy that said, you know what? I will make my treasures not here on this earth. And, in fact, Hebrews said that he didn't even esteem his riches on earth, because he looked forward riches in heaven someday. Here's the Apostle Paul. His name was Saul of Tarsus. He had a good job. He was well thought of in the Jewish community. He was a defender of the faith. He was going to root out all these Christians who had corrupted Judaism. And he would go to synagogues and arrest people. But one day, Jesus got a hold of Saul of Tarsus, and he got saved. And with the same zeal and fervor, he said, now I'm going to preach Jesus, knowing that he would probably lose everything. Knowing that he would be an outcast by his Jewish brethren. Knowing that he would never receive any more money from the Jews for the job that he did as a defender of the faith. Knowing that he had to go about now and make tents and scrape along and get a little bit of offerings here and there, end up in jail. But yet he said, my treasures are going to be in heaven. They're not going to be down here on this earth. And so you've got to make some decisions, decide where your treasures are going to be. Secondly, you're going to have to decide who you're going to serve. Everybody has to decide who you're going to serve, because you're going to serve somebody. Look at verse number 24. No man can serve two masters, for he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, the word mammon there is a word that describes possessions, your wealth, the things that you have, your earthly treasures. In essence, what he's saying, you can't serve two masters. Do you ever have two bosses, and they both had different ideas of how the job should get done? And, you know, one tells you to do this way, and the other one tells you different. And you're like, would somebody tell me exactly, because I don't know what to do. Because it's hard to serve two masters. And so what Jesus said is that here's two potential masters. Here's God as your master, or here's your mammon, here's your possessions as your master. Now, one of these two you have to serve. Now, I know people say, well, I serve God, but do you really serve God? I mean, when it comes to choice of serving God or progressing in life and making more money and gaining more things, do you really serve God? You know, sometimes we think we serve God because we show up at church every once in a while. But truth is, many times we're not really serving God. We're serving ourselves. We're serving what makes us feel good. We're serving what makes our life better, what brings us more happiness, what brings us more joy. Those are the things that we serve many times rather than serving God. Now you got to decide, who's your master going to be? Who's my master going to be? Is Jesus going to be your master? Well, Jesus said in John 13:13, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I command you? I'm not your master if you're not obeying me. I'm not your master if you're not obeying the word. I just have a title. You know, there's sometimes guys are the father or the husband, the leader of the house, and they're not really the leader. They just have a title. Sounds like a good title, but yet there's nothing behind it. And that's what the Lord says. You've given me a title. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I tell you to do? If you're not going to obey me, you're not going to follow me, you're not going to surrender to me, I'm really not the Lord of your life. And so who's the Lord of your life? Is it the pursuit of riches, the pursuit of happiness, the pursuit of entertainment, the pursuit of sports, whatever it is that kind of takes us away from the things of God? But you have to decide, who am I going to serve? Who am I going to serve? I like what Joshua said. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Now you decide, Israel, this is before they went into the promised land. He said, you could serve like your fathers did, serve first false gods, or like me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord. And everybody has to have that line drawn in the sand and say, no, I'm going to serve the Lord. I remember years ago as a young Christian, I had to make a decision. Am I going to serve Jesus wholeheartedly, or am I just going to play games? Am I going to just, you know, give lip service to Christianity? Or am I going to give my heart and life completely to the Lord Jesus Christ? And I remember as a young Christian, I decided that I'm going to follow Jesus. I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. And that's been my theme ever since. And I remember singing that little song, that I have decided to follow Jesus. And you see, when you decide to follow Jesus, what happens is that he becomes your master and everything else takes a back seat. Everything else takes a back seat. You know, we're so worried about our jobs and so worried about our money and so worried about our accounts and so worried about everything else that we forget that, listen, we're serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're serving the one who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. We're serving the one who died for us and paid for our sins on Calvary's cross. The master is the one who loves us. He's a good shepherd to us. He's the one who will never leave us nor forsake us. You serve that master. You serve the master who loves you unconditionally. You serve the master who died, rose again for our sins. You serve the master who promised that he will always meet your needs. You serve that master. He's the only one that promises you all the promises of the Word of God, that surely goodness and mercy are going to follow you all the days of your life. You serve that master. Now, if you choose the other master, who knows what's going to happen? The other master is kind of fickle. It's kind of like the stock market. It goes up and down. The other master is your mammon, your treasures. You know, they leave you dissatisfied, discontent after a while because mammon gets old and you need new mammon. And things get outdated and you need new stuff. And there's always this pursuit and always dissatisfied because mammon can never satisfy, only God satisfies. So you got to choose who your master is going to be. And that's what the abundant life is all about. That I'm going to follow Jesus and he's going to be my master and he alone is going to be the one that I follow. And when you make that decision, you know what? You go through life, and life's good all of a sudden. And, you know, you walk every day with the Lord. And your pursuit isn't after what can I get. Your pursuit is the Lord. Your pursuit is not can I add to my coffers. Your pursuit is can I add to my spiritual life with the Lord. And so you got to decide. Third thing you're going to have to decide is this. You got to decide not to worry. You got to decide not to worry. Now, I'm talking about this morning about living a worry-free life. You got to make a decision. I'm not going to worry. Now, I know it's easier said than done because I've done that before. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to worry. Oh, I'm worrying. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to worry. Oh, I'm going to worry. It's like trying not to think about something. You keep thinking about it, you know. It's like when you're in a school and your buddy made you laugh and the teacher's looking at you. Don't laugh. And you're like, and the more you don't want to laugh, you just keep laughing. You know, sometimes we do the opposite of what we want to do. And so we don't want to worry. But notice, look at verse number 25. Look at verse number 25, Matthew chapter 6. He says, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought of your life. Don't think about your life. I got to think about my life. He says, don't worry about your life. What's that talking about? What you eat. Oh, isn't that important? Oh, some of you are thinking about that right now. So, what am I going to have for lunch? I sure hope the pastor hurries up. Man, I'm getting hungry. I'm getting hungry too. I'm going to hurry up. But anyhow, he says, don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink, nor yet for your body or what you shall put on. Oh, I got to, you know, always worried about what I'm eating, drinking, what kind of new clothes can I get? Is not life more than meat and the body than raiment? You see, the kings of the day, they ate the finest of foods. They dressed in the beautiful, most beautiful garments. And that was a way of showing that, man, they made in life. They had gourmet dinners and they had exquisite robes and jewelry and everything else put on them. And that's what their life was all about. And Jesus said, you know what? That's not what your life's all about at all. He says, behold the fowls of the air. He said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to look at the birds. Look at the birds. Because he said, behold the fowls of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap. I've mentioned this before. I've never seen a bird put on his bib overhauls. And get in his little John Deere tractor. And drive it around. And plant seeds. And harvest the crops after. He says, you never saw a bird farm, did you? But you know what? He says, neither gather into barns. They're not putting their food in their barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Here's a question. Are you not much better than they? My Father in heaven takes care of every single bird that's out there. Somehow that bird always finds a worm. He always finds a piece of bread somebody threw out of their house. He finds a bird cedar, you know, a bird seed, whatever those bird cedars things are, you know. Bird house, I don't know. Hey, they always seem to, you never see a bunch of birds starving to death. You never see them all frail, their ribs sticking out and laying on the ground, you know. They just always, they look happy. They look well fed, don't they? They somehow... And God, think about how many birds on the earth. Someone Google that real quick and give me a number. All right, there's got to be millions of birds all throughout the earth. Millions of birds. And not one of them has ever planted one seed. Not one of them has ever watered the ground. Not one of them has ever harvested. But you know what? Those birds get fed. And that's just the birds. How about all the other creatures? Now, I know some of them are eating each other. But you know, the truth is that they all get taken care of somehow. I mean, even a little termite, man, he found himself a piece of wood to chew on. It's probably at the bottom of your house somewhere. They all get taken care of. You know why? Because God in heaven takes care of everything, all of his creation. And he says, now, aren't you a little more valuable than a bird? God didn't make birds in his image, but he made you in his image. And Jesus didn't die for any birds, but he died for you. And truth is, we're worried about things that God says, why are you worried about these things? Why are you worried? Look at the birds. So every day when I see the birds, it's a reminder, don't worry, God's got you taken care of. Don't worry, God's going to care for you. Don't worry, he cannot fail taking care of birds. He's not going to fail taking care of you. And so decide not to worry. Look at the birds. And then look at the lilies of the field. Look at verse number 28. And why take you thought of raiment, your clothes? Consider the lilies of the field. How they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. No lily of the field made her own clothes. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. A beautiful flower is beautiful than more beautiful than any clothes than Solomon ever wore. The picture is that God clothes these. Why is there so many different flowers? You ever go up to the Philadelphia Flower Show? I got dragged there once or twice. I went there once or twice, and I try to you know, I just try to be well-rounded, let's just put it that way. Have many different interests. And but there's so many different flowers, so many different, and yet there's beautifully made. And yet the Word of God says that these flowers, verse 30, it says, wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? You ever buy roses? Roses are so beautiful, but you know what? Why I don't like to buy roses? Because in a couple of days they're dead. They're all droopy, you know? Looks like their neck kind of got all, you know, and they just kind of all hang over. And you're like, oh, wow, man, that was a waste of money. They didn't even last a week or so. Of course, I guess I probably shouldn't go to the grocery store to buy them. But anyhow, but what God is saying is that things that are beautiful, they're here today, gone tomorrow. Are you not more valuable? So God says, look, I got you covered. Why are you worrying about things? The abundant life is not worrying every day. Will I have enough? Is God going to meet my needs? Am I going to have enough food? What am I going to wear? How am I going to get taken care of? How am I going to pay the bills? And so you got to decide, I'm not going to let these things worry me. Notice what he says. Verse number 30, the last couple words. O ye of what? Little faith. Every time you worry, you know what you're saying to the Lord? God, I don't know if you can handle my problems. I know you take care of every single bird in the earth, but I don't think you can take care of me. I know you clothe every single flower and you make everything look beautiful, but I don't know you're going to take care of me. Oh, ye of what? Little faith. Maybe we ought to confess our sins and say, Lord, I'm sorry I doubted. I'm sorry I didn't have enough faith. I'm sorry that I worry all the time. I'm sorry that I fret and fear and get stressed out and give myself an ulcer and wreck my marriage. I'm sorry, Lord, that I haven't trusted you. I've seen the birds, I've seen the flowers, but somehow I ignore all that every day and I just worry about my problems. What we need to realize is, listen, just decide, I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to do it. If God can take care of everything else, he's going to take care of me. Yes, sir. And you got to make that decision. Now, I know sometimes it's tough, it's rough, it's tight. You don't think you can give. You don't think you can tithe. You don't think you can give to missions. You don't think you can take care of things financially. And once again, that's where your faith comes in. Can I walk every day by faith and not fear? Philippians 4:6 says this. Be careful for nothing. Word careful means worried. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You know, it's where God says, you know, when you start worrying, you know the first thing you ought to do? Just start praying about it. Just start praying, Lord, I'm worried, I'm nervous. You see, it's not that worry is a sin. I think it's when we don't pray about it and give it to God, that's where the sin kicks in. Because now we're taking it upon us, and we're carrying our burdens instead of just giving it over to God. That's trusting God. That's living, whichever is not of faith is sin. And so we have to just simply pray about it and say thank you. Lord, thank you, you've taken care of me, you've always provided, you're going to keep providing. Thank you, Lord. I trust you, I thank you, and leave it there. And guess what God gives you instead of worry? Peace. Peace. Peace path all is in. I'm not worried about it. What me worry? Or that guy, you know, a little cartoon guy, what me worry, you know? Don't worry. Why? Because I've prayed about it. God's taking care of it. I'm not going to worry. And I'm living by faith, and I'm living by obedience. The last question, last thing you have to decide is verse number 33. Look at verse number 32. It says, verse 31. Let's go to verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles and unsaved seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. God knows what you need before you have before you even know what you need. It's not like you tell God and he's like, oh boy, I didn't know you needed that stuff. He knows everything you need already. You say, why pray? Because he tells you to pray about it anyhow. You're just telling God what he already knows. Now, verse 33 is the last thing you got to decide. You got to decide to seek the kingdom of God. You got to decide to put him first. Notice what it says. Verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Decide to seek the kingdom of God. I got to decide I'm going to seek the kingdom of God first. First, not last, not second. That's why, by the way, isn't the tithe the first tenth? The first tenth of what we give? We're seeking the kingdom of God first. First, not last, not leftovers. First. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, the word seek there in the Greek is not a one-time look real quick. It is a continual tense, meaning I'm going to keep on seeking every day, seeking the kingdom of God, seeking, continually seeking, seeking the kingdom of God. Now, what is the kingdom of God? We know King God's in heaven someday, but is not your Christian life, are we not trying to build the kingdom of God here on earth so that when Jesus Christ comes, that there'll be a big kingdom, so that many will go to the kingdom when they die? And so seek ye first the kingdom of God. That means I'm seeking the things that build the kingdom of God. I'm seeking the things that are important to God. I'm seeking the things that are going to last for all eternity. I'm seeking the kingdom. And so when I get up in the morning, I got to seek the kingdom of God. So I'm going to pray and I'm going to read my Bible because I'm going to seek ye first the kingdom of God. And on Sundays, I'm going to come to church because I want to seek the kingdom of God. And Sunday nights, I'm going to come because I want to seek the kingdom of God. And Wednesdays, I want to hear some Bible study because I want to seek the kingdom of God. And then every day, I'm going to get in the Word myself. And I'm going to see what God has for me because I want to seek the kingdom of God. And I'm going to get along with God and praise Him and worship Him every day because I want to seek the kingdom of God. Then I'm going to go out and try to tell people how to get saved and pass out tracts because I want to seek the kingdom of God. And when I come to church, I'm going to give my tithe and my offerings so that our church can progress and missionaries can build churches because I want to seek the kingdom of God first. I want to seek the kingdom of God. And as I seek the kingdom of God, I also want to seek His righteousness. His righteousness. Because the kingdom of God is about righteousness. I'm going to seek Him and I'm going to try to live holy. I'm going to seek Him and live righteous. I'm going to seek the kingdom of God and do what I can. So I'm going to seek Him with my time and seek Him early in the morning. I'm going to seek Him late at night. I'm going to seek Him in my prayer life. I'm going to seek Him with my finances. Every decision I make, I'm going to say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, what is your will? I want to seek the kingdom of God. I'm putting you first, Lord. You're my first priority. And the Bible says when you do that, you know what happens? All these things shall be added unto you. All these things that you worried about. All these bills and all these issues and all these things that stressed you out and all these things that made you worry, all these things shall be added unto you. You see, you put Him first. You made Jesus Lord. You chose Him to be your master. You decided to follow Him. You decided to seek heavenly treasures, not earthly treasures. You did it the right way. Now you live the abundant life because God now supplies all your needs. God takes care of you. Now, I'm not saying you're going to end up a rich man, but you know what? You're going to have your needs met. And all these things that you need are going to be added unto you. You know, it's more than just getting money from God. It's about peace. It's about joy. It's about blessings that He gives in many different ways. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, folks, today, what a great way to live, isn't it? If you could live the abundant life this way. So I've got to make four decisions to summarize it. Number one, I've got to decide where my treasures are going to be. Up here or down? Up there or down here? Where are my treasures going to be? You got to make a decision. Then I've got to decide who's my master going to be. Who's it going to be? Is it going to be God? Or is it going to be mammon? I got to decide. Someone's going to rule me, so I got to serve someone, so I got to decide. And then I got to decide, I'm not going to worry. I'm going to trust God. I'm not going to worry. He takes care of everything else in this world. He's going to take care of me. I'm deciding today, mark it down, I'm not worried. And then lastly, I'm going to decide to seek His kingdom. I'm just going to seek Him. I'm going to follow Him. I'm going to give to Him. I'm going to give my life. He's going to be number one in my life. And guess what? Everything else He takes care of. He takes care of everything else. You talk about the abundant life. That's why you can live every day not worrying about things. You can live every day not in terror and defeat and discouragement and downtrodden, but every day you can walk with peace, with your head held high, with a smile on your face, with a joy in your heart, with no fear, no worry. That's the kind of life that God wants you to live. That's the abundant life. But you have to seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things are going to be added unto you. Let's pray.